with everyone having these tools to be able to produce creative, what differentiates people? I think what matters a lot is going to be the differentiation of the brand and the foundations. What is the product truth that is core to the brand? What is the brand purpose? What is the tension it plays against? And if you define those things clearly, then I don't think that you're going to have that swell to the average and to the mean. But for brands who aren't clear on exactly who they are and their foundations, I think they will find themselves in a sea of sameness.
Hello and welcome to the premiere episode of Where AI Works, conversations at the intersection of AI and industry, brought to you by the Wharton School and sponsored by Accenture. I'm Karthik Hosanagar. I'm a professor of technology and digital business at the Wharton School and also co-director of our AI Research Center. And it's my pleasure to be your host on this season of the podcast. We're going to tackle some big questions about how AI is shaping the world of business today and where it's going to take us. It's our goal to cut through the noise and to deliver actionable insights for business leaders. On every episode, we'll combine cutting-edge research with real-world case studies and uncover how the best companies are using AI to upskill their workforce and transform their business. Things are changing fast, so without further ado, let's dive in.
We are definitely in an AI hype cycle, and artificial intelligence is a very big and very important macro trend.
The race is no longer just about scale or speed. It's about intelligence that can think and reason.
AI is replacing human tasks faster than you might think.
AI has been around since the 1950s, and computer scientists have been working on it for several decades now. But it's really taken off in the last 2 years, and all of a sudden, it's become extremely important for the C-suite. It's likely to impact everything from marketing and sales to software development, R&D, and other functions, and likely across all industries. This inaugural episode of Where AI Works starts with marketing, and in particular, how is AI supercharging the way brands are creating content? To help me unpack the answers, I'm pleased to introduce the Global Senior Vice President of Consumer Experience at Mondelez International, Jonathan Halvorsen. John, welcome to Where AI Works.
Thank you so much for having me.
Not everyone is likely familiar with Mondelez, but I suspect the brands that are within Mondelez are known to all of us. So maybe I'll ask you to first just introduce Mondelez and tell us a little bit more about the company.
Sure. Mondelez is the global leader in snacking. We operate in a few core categories that you're very familiar with. Chocolate, biscuits, baked snacks. You'd be familiar with Oreo, Milka, Cadbury, Ritz. So a true combination of global and local brands operating everywhere around the world.
From what I understand, your background in college was investigative journalism. So I'm kind of curious how you go from investigative journalism to advertising and in particular Mondelez as well.
So I attended the University of Missouri undergraduate program in School of Journalism. And while I was there, I was sitting in History of American Journalism and they were doing a preview of all the sections. It's that moment where you decide, am I going to be in newspaper or broadcast? And a professor, Steve Kopcha, came in to present what the vision was for StratCom. And he had an unbelievably brilliant articulation of exactly what StratCom was. And it was the compelling nature of it, how he talked about writing, the clarity of thought, and just really building brands. And I sat there and I scrapped all my dreams of being an investigative reporter or working a broadcast beat. And I signed up for advertising. A few short years later, I would go to work at Leo Burnett. And later on in media organizations, OMD, Publicis, working around the world with a lot of blue chip clients. And fortunately, I had Mondelez as a client and later on had a chance to join them about 8 years ago in the capacity I'm in now, running global media, digital data, creative, and digital commerce.
Got it. And in fact, I think advertising and content creation is a great place for us to kick off this series of conversations we'll have on the show on AI and marketing. And I want to start by sharing a study that some of my colleagues at Wharton did, where they were looking at which industries and job types are going to be most impacted by AI. And the top two in that list were media and entertainment and legal. And of course, media and entertainment includes advertising. Where I want to begin the conversation is perhaps even the very basics, which is, where exactly can you apply AI within the content creation space in advertising? Where are you folks using it today?
For us, I think ultimately AI is going to work from the bottom of the funnel and come up. So the beginning uses of AI that we see are really in e-commerce, building product display pages. So the images for that, the text, optimizing that for search engine optimization inside retailers. The second use case that we see is really in producing everyday advertising content, the display assets and banners you see that are meant to drive conversion and are slowly working way up to social assets. So lifestyle imagery that you would see in Instagram posts and TikTok. And we continue to progress up and we see a clear path to doing video and even our above the line TV assets.
And it's interesting you said you're starting at the bottom and working way up, meaning like these asset creation and hopefully impacting strategic choices over the long run.
Yeah, you're starting with lower funnel assets that are more conversion, but I think the systems you're building are really end-to-end. And I think that's where you're going to get the value. And I think your Wharton colleagues are speaking to that. That's why it's not augmentation, but true disruption. Because I think AI is going to help you do everything from creation of the brief all the way to actually traffic that asset and put it out into market.
That makes sense. But one question I have for you is, in this early phase, are you already seeing any evidence of ROI? And I ask that because there's so much hype around AI, but many skeptics are also starting to raise these questions about all the spend, where's the return? What are you focusing?
So over the last 2 years, we have done 40 campaign-based AI activations. So this is example where in campaigns, we're using AI technology to augment and deliver a higher efficacy or a higher efficiency of our assets. In those campaigns, we can clearly point to that not only being some of our strongest work, but also in those campaigns delivering higher brand awareness, higher market share gains, and higher net revenue. I think that you see a lot of the best of that work inside Mondelez on Cadbury. I'd point to two specific examples. First is Give a Cheer for a Volunteer in Australia. Last year, our top performing BU was Australia and the top performing brand, Cadbury. At the center of their campaign activation was a program that allowed consumers to create an AI film that celebrated a volunteer in their life. And it's something that wouldn't have been possible without AI. We can't hire an artist or a film director to produce all those films and be able to make that possible. Similarly, inside India last year for Valentine's Day, we created an ability through Pactivation for consumers to create Valentine's stories and tell the entire story of their love. It was really geared towards people who are perhaps not the planners, but rather last minute gift givers and a little bit of also helpless romantics who want to tell those stories. Those campaigns aren't possible without it. And they're two of our highest performing campaigns, both internally as well as externally celebrated.
John, what I really like about the examples you just shared is that the examples are not just about cost cutting with AI use, but it's about meaningfully getting a lift in outcomes like consumer engagement or attention and things like that. And we've seen that actually. We organize an annual generative AI workshop where researchers share the latest research in these spaces. And multiple studies in our workshop have shown that it's, again, not just a cost reduction standpoint. For example, one study by researchers at MIT and Indian Institute of Management showed that there was a 6-9% lift in click-through rate of ads. And another one by researchers at University of Hamburg and Emory University compared human-generated ads against AI-created ads for automotive companies. And they used purchase funnel metrics like, does the ad get attention? Does it generate interest? Does it generate desire? Does it create action like downloading a brochure and so on? And on a 7-point scale, they found those purchase funnel metrics went up by nearly a point, about 0.75 points. So strong evidence. Have you guys tried to measure this as well?
Yeah, the same thing. I think in the very beginning, you see higher ROIs, higher conversion rates. But I think it's also important to note, this is just the beginning. We're in the early rounds of the ballgame. What I think the potential that gets people excited about AI is for that to only improve over time. So today it's 7 points. And just to be clear to any of the listeners, that's material to the business. When you start delivering 250 trillion impressions in a year, and if you can do that 1% better, that adds up to significant volume gains and significant growth in terms of net revenue. But then it's just the beginning. Over time, AI is going to cumulatively learn and get better and get better. And I think that's what really excites us. If we can start from that point, have really good success signals and train the systems, we're only going to achieve higher levels of efficacy and excellence.
It's great to see that kind of impact with AI optimized or AI generated content. I'm also curious about what is the role of the human in this. So what is the human in the loop process here? Because I'm assuming it's not like a bunch of AI agents doing everything. There are humans prompting and humans selecting and so on. So tell me about that role.
A lot of people have a different point of view about this. And I've had a lot of good debates with practitioners, colleagues, peers, academics about where it's at. And I think where I'm at on this is AI is going to impact every single part of the value chain. And I think it's going to help humans do their jobs better. And if we look at it at the very beginning, like we use AI internally to help us write better briefs. So do we write good creative briefs today? Yes. Can they be better? Yeah. I want them to be perfect every single time. And I think with AI inputs, we're raising the quality of our briefs. The second thing is coming up with concepts. So we use our tool, our proprietary tool at Mondelez is called AIDA, A-I-D-A. It stands for Artificial Intelligence Data and Analytics. And that tool allows us to generate concepts. Are any of those concepts perfect? No, but they help inspire our creative teams and our marketers around the world as to what's possible. So I think that then gives a jumping off point. And this is where our agency creative directors at WPP, Publicis, the Martin Agency, VCCP provide their own ideas, elevate those ideas to get to really good scripts. Then we can quickly test those scripts, ultimately by generating a series of images that represent that. We test it. What used to take 2 weeks can now take a few hours, get a score back, and then we can go produce that asset at a higher quality. So I think the human in the loop really is in a few key areas, like it is giving humans a lot more time to spend on creative excellence, to elevate the ideas, and a lot of the place where that uniquely provides value.
Yes, that makes so much sense. I think AI can be a great tool from an idea generation standpoint, idea enhancement, and of course, the actual execution pieces as well. We actually did a study recently where we were looking at AI use in creative writing. So we had a bunch of students who wrote without AI and with AI. And we noticed that AI use, of course, reduced the time it took to write. It increased the quality of the writing as well. But one of the interesting side effects we found was that human-created content in aggregate was more diverse than AI-created content. When everyone is using the same AI tools to write, they're coming up with similar ideas. Whereas all of us have very different biological neural networks in our head. Your influences are different from my influence, so we come up with different ideas. But if we both use the same kinds of tools, you end up with similar ideas. We see it now with like PowerPoint presentations, like everyone's PowerPoint is starting to look similar. Do you worry that if all your people are using these same tools, the diversity of ideas might go down and eventually what you're seeing as a lift in performance might actually go down because everything starts to look the same?
Yeah, look, this is the huge conundrum challenge. Like everyone's getting ice cream. It's the best ice cream, but everyone's getting vanilla is essentially a good summary of the problem. I think about this a lot because there will be a massive democratization of AI tools. And anybody, any marketer, any company, no matter how big or small, will be able to produce Super Bowl level creative instantly off of their laptop, if not their phone, 12, 18, 24 months at most from today. So then with everyone having these tools to be able to produce creative, what differentiates people? And I think what matters a lot is going to be the differentiation of the brand and the foundations. At Mondelez, we're really blessed. We have an amazing portfolio of over 250 brands that are iconic taste of nation. But what will be increasingly important in the journey we've gone on over the last 8 years is to very clearly define those brands. What is the product truth that is core to the brand? What is the brand purpose? What is the tension it plays against? And if you define those things clearly, then I don't think that you're going to have that swell to the average and to the mean. But for brands who aren't clear on exactly who they are in their foundations, I think they will find themselves in a sea of sameness. So I spend a lot of time thinking about this, and I think the safeguard on it is one, the clear brand foundations, two, humans in the loop, and three, just the discipline you put in, just the intentionality of how you use AI and just recognizing the concern.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point. And I just want to dig a little deeper into that. How do you, in practice, implement brand distinctive features in your AI augmented or AI generated content?
There's a few things. First, it starts by being really clear on what are the distinct features of your brand. And that sounds like a very obvious thing, but it's a very intentional exercise that has to take place before you ever open up AI or open up a laptop, you know? And so in the case of Oreo, it is a black and white sandwich cookie. It has a very clear embossment. There's a very clear logo and look to that brand that has to be clear no matter what the instance is. Then having defined all those assets that are truly distinct, then you have to train a large language model and you have to explain it. And we've had a lot of work that we've done on this across all of our agency networks, training for Milka, training for Oreo. And it just requires time to essentially upload the entire brand history. And really, it's a technical exercise of training the system as to exactly who you are. So it starts by uploading all those awful brand playbooks that we've built over the past few years. Those have immense value. Two is your archive. You know, the really great brands keep very good archives of all the work that they've done. And that's because often when you're in a challenge, you can find your solution in the archive. But also that becomes really powerful training data to explain to the AI system your performance over time, what's worked, what's not. Then it's a matter of, as you train your large language model, sitting down and giving it back and forth. Just like you train in machine learning or any other application, there is a back and forth exchange of when a system is showing you something and you have to provide feedback on that. Yes, that's right, and no, it's not. And through all that training exercises, you will create a custom LLM that represents your brand.
Yeah, thanks for that helpful peek under the hood. It's important to understand the process that goes into that. And it's not just going to ChatGPT and writing a prompt and voila, you have your ad. So we've talked a little bit about the process. Let's talk a little bit about the outcomes. I know you've run dozens of campaigns that are AI supported, but I'd love to hear about one or two in particular. What was actually done? What was the new customer experience and things like that?
Let me answer that question in two parts. First, let's talk about the journey, and then let's talk about a specific example. So let's talk about the journey.
Great.
So 18 months ago, we start doing our first work on this. We trained a large language model. I'm sitting with the agency and I'm super excited. We've done a little pilot. And the first thing it spits out is humans that have six fingers and people who have giraffe necks. and then we would see Milka bars that were missized. Right, everything was wrong. We tried to prompt it on Halloween and instead I get things that look like Christmas. There were people who were joined at the shoulder. I could have cried right then and there. And I was like, man, maybe this isn't for us.
Right.
And the early thing that we've done in this small little pilot just showed how hard this was going to be. When you talk about some specific examples and what does that really enable, I like to go to the India BU because I think they've done some of our most advanced work on Cadbury. The first work that they did was actually in music, and it was for Cadbury Birthday Song. And so the idea behind Cadbury Birthday Song was a simple insight. There are literally billions of people in this world, and yet there's only one song to celebrate them. Happy birthday to you. And so their insight was, wouldn't it be powerful if you could create a custom birthday song? But the thing is you can't hire a musician to write a billion birthday songs for any iteration. But using AI and some large language models in partnership with the Ogilvy team, they created a tool where if you uploaded some basic information about yourself, you got to pick a type of music, you got to pick a language. Ultimately, it would produce a custom birthday song for you. We did work promoting it and above the line as well as below the line. And it became a huge hit across India with literally millions of people participating, driving incremental sale of celebrations outside of the core festive season when typically almost all of our chocolate is sold. So really extending the chocolate season from just Diwali and Valentine's Day to really being something that's 365 days a year. And that's a powerful example.
Yeah. And by the way, I grew up in India. And so Cadbury was a huge brand in India when I was growing up.
I have to thank Bharat Purdy and many of the great marketers that come before us for the great tradition we have in India in marketing. And it's laid a great foundation.
It's been great to hear about what's gone well, how things are, you know, producing positive impact and results for you. But let's talk a little bit about lessons learned. Because a lot of companies are just getting started with their AI and content journeys. And I'm curious, what's been the hard part of all this? What have you learned in terms of both what's been hard that you've solved, but also what you're still trying to solve?
So many lessons learned. I mean, what started as an insight at a moment where we had the flash of brilliance to being here today has been a long road and a lot of work. I think, you know, lessons learned and things I would tell one is Find a strategic partner to be your sounding board and stick with one all the way consistently. I would say throughout this entire journey, I have had really good strategic partners and it's the one voice in my head, and that makes life really simple. The second thing is, I think it's very important for you to have a clear narrative. Every company will approach AI differently, and even the use case of content. I'm very focused on increasing the effectiveness of that content and the quality of it. Others, their business case is more built around speed. How can they take global assets, localize them, get them to market faster? Other people are all about cost savings. What I think is important is that you have a very clear business case and narrative around that you consistently talk about through the organization, and that become really important. Third is, most of this is change management. And I'd say that the change management is probably half of the cost and definitely more than half of the time. And so I think it's important to get people in early to see this and talk about where you're going. The last thing is, I think you learned from us, is the power of a demo. We did a small little pilot. And we had a little example of a Milka large language model that simulated the brand. And we produced this video. And so when we went to go talk to the marketing organization, we went to talk to the C-suite, it was an asset we could show. And it was powerful because often when you start talking about AI, large language models, you can get very quickly lost in all the junk and a series of acronyms that aren't really going to help you. But this little example became a real shining light. And for people who weren't even marketers or weren't familiar with AI, they saw it and it changed their mood. There was a moment, a pivotal moment, where we were deciding if this was going to be part of our strategy or not. And one of our region presidents saw it. He goes, "That's the future."
Change management to bring people along, demos to win people over. The interesting thing, and that's where I want to take this last question, is that advertising at the end of the day is all about people. It's about people with creative ideas who can help brands connect with real people. And now you have AI native agencies, AI automating work and all of that. I'm curious, what are your hopes or what's your vision for how people and human creativity can still be at the center of this conversation around AI?
There is an amazing tension and cycle that happens between technology and creativity. Technology gets out ahead and it inspires new level of creativity that inspires the next level of technology, and you get a very virtuous cycle. And I think you see that playing out over the last several decades. And I always love moments where technology is out ahead because it means that the things I dream up in my Willy Wonka mind are possible. And whereas when creativity is ahead of technology, you're like, this would be really cool, but we can't do it. And I find that to be a lot more frustrating. But my hope and dream is that I always believe that the best advertising is yet to be done. And therefore, there's a constant way to do better and cooler things. And every time we do this, I think for us, it was our Shahrukh Khan, your ad moment.
By the way, for our listeners who don't know, maybe we should say who's Shahrukh Khan. He's because I grew up in India, I can say he's like the Brad Pitt of India, only 10 times bigger in India or something like that, right?
Tom Brady plus Tom Cruise plus every good imaginable human, like, you know, all rolled into one. I mean, and this asset, we shot with him for a day and it allowed you to create personalized versions of it for every local retailer. And it was just a dynamic creative optimization on steroids. And when you saw that, you were like, wow. That wouldn't be great if everything we did was that good. I think you have moments like that where you see a piece of work, it inspires you as to what could be. And I think every day, I hope that the work that I produce at Mondelez inspires other marketers to create things, because I know Asmita at L'Oreal, Tamara at Haleon, they're constantly producing things that are inspiring me. And I go to my teams, I go, look at this. And wouldn't that be so cool? And I'm pushing that to the next frontier.
John, this has been great. I think we created some good podcast content here and we didn't even need AI for this.
Nope.
Thank you so much for being guest number one on Where AI Works.
Thanks so much for having me.
Now let's review the key learnings from my conversation with Jonathan. A big initiative like AI-driven change is likely to throw some early challenges. Like John was talking about images where people had giraffe necks or six or seven fingers. What's really important is one needs to have patience because you're investing in AI for the long run. The other learning was that AI value is not just about cost reduction. It's also about consumer engagement and revenue impact and increasing top line, increasing consumer retention and things like that. And finally, it's important for companies to find the right and consistent strategic partner, because AI-driven transformation is as much about change management. How do you convince people? How do you bring them along for the ride? How do you create demos to get some early excitement about what you're trying to do? And how do you make sure your people are with you in this process? That brings us to the end of the series premiere. Thanks so much for listening. Please follow us so you don't miss an episode. And be sure to tune in next time when I sit down with Jill Cramer, CMO at Accenture. We're going to explore how AI is reshaping marketing. This has been Where AI Works, brought to you by Wharton and sponsored by Accenture. I'm Karthik Hosanagar. See you next time.